This episode is going to be
recording.
We're recording. This is Ardo, my friend of 3 years ago. We met while we're dancing in the car at the same time 3 years ago, briefly for probably about a minute and a half total, and then I got your Instagram. We said two messages. Then 3 years later, just now,
3 years.
You're like, hey, what's up? I'm looking to do some music, and reached out because I produce some music. And then I was like, hey, man, let's do a podcast, because this is a pretty funny situation.
It is. It was the most random night like I've had in a while.
So it's what? We're driving down to like a main street in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I was in my car.
You're just on Sydney Road, getting close to the city.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the video. I'll show you the video now. This is, I'll put it up here so you can hear the audio. And then you just drive off. I forgot the rest of the words to the show. Just improv-ing. And your friend was driving, and then I was in my car.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I was listening to, but then like we pulled up. I was dancing, you were dancing, and then we saw each other both dancing to our music.
Yeah.
Just started bugging out over, hey, how good is life?
I don't even know if I was coming back from clubbing or something, or I just had a good night. And I was like, yeah, the night ended fun. Oh, a cool guy dancing as well. Hey, buddy, dance with me. You hit it off, man.
So funny. And then I think we got like two, like, at the first, it was like, see you later. And then we pulled up at the next lights and saw each other again. And then I think the third lights is when I was like, hey, man, we've got to get your details.
Yeah.
This is truly bizarre now.
I think we like stopped at the second light and we were just like, oh, he's still there. And then, like, oh, I'll never see him again. Third light, just like, you know, fuck it, let's connect, you know, let's make this I'll connect again one day.
Yeah, second light is a momentary sadness. Yeah. Thinking, oh, man, I don't want to leave this guy.
You don't want to look first, you're just like,
And then it was like, man, I hope if this next light pulls up, we've got to exchange details.
We got to. And we did, and now we're here.
Isn't it weird, man? I just thought it's a beautiful, beautiful situation of absolutely pretty much knowing nearly nothing about one another.
Absolutely.
And yet we completely connected on such a fun, free, liberated level.
Absolutely.
Just in the car, between cars.
I love it too. And I'm so far from home being here. Like, I don't know if the people listening can tell by the accent.
But yeah, you're not from around here, boy.
Not from around here, mate. But just bumping into people like this is just awesome all the time. You know, just good vibes all around the world.
Isn't it good?
No matter where you're from.
I love it.
Be nice and dance and shit.
So you're from America?
Yeah. From Maryland. Shout out Maryland.
Whereabouts is that?
So I call it the side boob of America. We're on the East Coast, 3 hours down from New York.
So sexy, but doesn't lead anyone on too much.
Oh, yeah.
The side boob.
It's Silver Spring. It's a nice area. It's not too great of a place. Like, you wouldn't go there if you're going to visit the place for like 1 week or so, but it's a nice place. If you have relatives there, they'll show you around.
Yeah.
Shout out DMV. That's what we call my area. DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Shout outs. I love shout outs, man.
I know, right?
Sometimes we get calls and I work at a radio station. We get calls. People just want to do shout outs and it's like, this only serves one other person in the entire population.
Absolutely.
But I think we vote against putting that to air. But that's funny. So I'm going to edit out all those shoutouts. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So tell me about your life, man. Give me some. We just chatted briefly before this, and you're like, we've barely talked since that moment. So we've probably spent a total of like 15 minutes in each other's presence.
Yeah.
And that in itself, I think. Like, obviously, you're such an open spirit. You're so approachable, so warm, loving, fun.
Thanks, man.
So it was effortless and it was easy. Mm. But I kind of like, I don't know, I just like exercising the paradigm of, like, we're essentially strangers. I believe everyone's my friend in the world, but we're essentially, we don't know anything about each other and yet we can connect. And I just like the experiment or the idea, and just because I genuinely want to get to know you better, but I like the idea of just coming together and with such little in to do with each other,
you
know, history wise.
I do not know you. Like, and because of these little devices that we have nowadays, we are good friends.
Yeah.
Back
he's
in
not,
the day.
He's not talking about his dick. He's talking about his iPhone.
We both. But you know, back in the day, you'd have been on your caravan going the other way, and I'd have been like, oh, well, bye, cool guy who was dancing to little drum beats in the back.
Yeah.
Because
there's right,
no
the bongos.
Music back then.
Yeah. Bongos in the back of a ute. But just wanted to dive in, man. Like, we can ask each other any question. I feel like I like the I just like the opportunity to do that.
Absolutely, man. Well, go ahead and open up. I've been in this country for 4 years. Had the pleasure of being in this country for 4 years. I initially came to complete my bachelor's degree in international business. I was doing it at a community college back in the States. It dragged on for a bit long. So at the time, I was like, ugh. Because usually you do 2 years at a community college and 2 years at a university, and you get an associate's degree and a bachelor's degree. It's like cost effective, and it's like, yeah, it's cost effective. It's not as expensive as real uni. Yeah. And if you're dumb, you can still get in. Yeah. So then my mom tells me randomly, like, oh, yeah, by the way, if you go to school overseas, my job will pay for you to go. And I'm like, okay, like, bye. I was on Instagram and Twitter, and I was just asking people all around the world, like, well, not all around the world, I'm not that cool. Yeah. But I asked a couple of friends in the UK and in Melbourne. I was like, hey, how's life? And then I heard Melbourne's like most livable city in the world. It was like 4 years in a row at the time. And I think I just heard it hit seven. Mm. Wow. Mm. 7 years in a row, most livable city, Melbourne. Yeah. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll go to Australia. I'll go see some kangaroos and venomous creatures, you know?
Yeah.
That's all we know about Australia back home.
Yeah.
And Steve Irwin, of course. RIP. Yeah. And yeah, so I applied to 5 schools in the UK. They gave me shit offers. And then I looked into Melbourne. I looked at University of Melbourne, but they want smart people. So I looked at La Trobe, and I was like, oh, you guys seem accommodating. You guys don't seem to mind about the outliers. Yeah.
And you got in and started in 3.5 years in, 4 years in?
Yeah. Yeah, I finished my bachelor's end of last year. Although when you study business, you don't really know what the hell you want to do. I mean, like, it's not like, and plus there's no placement for business students. Like, if you're studying like medicine or something, you're going to be taken to a place where you can practically learn what you're going to be doing. If you're studying business, you're going to be learning a lot of theories, and you're going to learn a lot of numbers and how to theoretically do what you got to do. But like, I think it wouldn't be hard for universities to send a couple students to, like, I don't know, send them to a couple like retail stores and have them count numbers at the end of the day or something, you know, like people have a bachelor's degree in commerce and go to, like, they start working in retail and they can't even count stock, or they can't even like count a register. That's literally the situation I'm seeing right now. So yeah, I don't know. I've always just wanted to do something that would make me happy. And I came into Australia with the intention of just using uni as a as a means of staying in this country, and it's been lovely using it as that. The course was fun or whatever, but uni's lame. Let's not talk about uni.
Yeah. Because your name sounds like a superhero.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah. It sounds like, and with your hair and everything, you feel like you got a superhero vibe.
Hey, what would the pick be in my hair if I were a superhero?
Oh, you got a comb.
It'd be that thing I put in when I get serious, when the bad guy like hits me and I'm just like, oh. You know, it's like, now it's time.
It injects you with adrenaline.
Super Saiyan mode, you know. just dripping adrenaline constantly. Just,
Afro comb, everyone's a needle, and you just jab it into your skull and you just press the button.
They're freaking out, like, bro, he has no hair and he just used it. He just stabbed his scalp, bro, he's crazy. Anything for the adrenaline.
What are you scared of most?
Ooh.
Like, do you have a reoccurring pattern in your life where you're like, this, you know, that you're fearful about something in particular that's reoccurring, or the biggest thing that you're scared of?
You know, another thing, being in this country, I've become a lot more open. So I think that would have been a personal story, no longer are. I was like, you know, I'm around people who are a lot of lovely people, and, you know, I might not see them again. Let them know about your story. You're going to die one day. Let them know you've been through. So anyway, life story wise.
Life story wise. I just like the idea of just like, yeah, you're just going deep straight away.
Yeah, man. May as well. So I'm sorry. So I don't just give you full life story. What was the exact question you had asked again?
So it's like, just like, is there one thing, like, for me? What I'm scared of most in life is doing something I don't enjoy doing. I'm scared of being trapped. Like, and that's just pushed me towards liberating, finding freedom, understanding freedom and experiencing freedom on the entirely throughout my body. So for me, that's starts of my thoughts I've found, because my thoughts were the only thing that really limited my ability to experience freedom. Okay. So, like, that's kind of what I'm scared of. I'm scared of not being free.
That is something that's not cool.
Yeah. Free. But then I think about it. I probably, when if you could live, find freedom in your own mind, that means no matter what my environment is, I could experience freedom.
Exactly.
And like, if there's been times like when I've been close to death in like hospital and stuff, and you surrender, like I find the process of surrender grants me freedom and grants me an experience of love and unity, connection with everything, you know, that state of consciousness. So, I mean, that's kind of my understanding of my greatest fear.
I hate the fact that one of mine, at least in terms of in life, my biggest fear definitely has to do with other people, which probably, like, I don't like that as a, like, in general, like, your fears in life should have to do with you and how you're going to have to deal with them. But sometimes when you deal with people, you have to deal with how they deal with what you deal with.
No shoulds and shouldn'ts.
So I guess one of my biggest fears would probably be, like, letting down my mom, I'd say.
Right.
Or just like letting down my family in general. Mom mainly, though, because with my upbringing, I was raised by my mom mainly, single parented household in the States. And she worked hard. She had good jobs, like enough for a single parent to like struggle a bit. But I can't complain. I had a good life. But my dad was always in Nigeria, because now this is an interesting story. My dad's the king of a province in Nigeria.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's just a random part of my life.
That's nuts.
I didn't even know until I was five.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you react when you were five?
When I was five, we went there, and it's like a full-on palace and everything. It's like, I can show you pictures. It's actually crazy.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yeah, you should bring them up.
So here we have a photo of the palace and my little sister.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's
Is that one in the background?
Yeah, well, the whole thing itself is the palace. I'll go ahead and get you the actual photo itself. Let me just get past the nudes. That's just a joke, guys. Good family man here.
I only take photos of families and keep them on your phone, which is also creepy.
Yes, he got that one. Alrighty.
Oh, man. So whereabouts in Nigeria is this?
So this is in Okene, Nigeria. Yeah, that's the inside, that's the outside gate, and yeah, he's got the lion is my dad's insignia, so he has them all over the palace and stuff, and yeah,
that's incredible. And so what was your relationship like with him?
So basically, I would see my dad every other year, after I had turned 10. I saw him for the first time when I was five.
Yeah.
And like it's really different compared to anything that people could imagine. I first saw him and he's sitting on his chair, and when people are around him, they're usually not, for people who are not familiar with African heritage or culture, whatever it is, please just try to bear with me, but they're on their knees. When you're around the king, you're not really supposed to be standing unless you're like immediate family or something, but like you'd either like kneel. Not like you're bowing to him, but it's
like
just
Game of Thrones shit.
It is quite, yeah. For the average person in 2017, it's like some Game of Thrones shit.
So it's still like that today.
Yeah. In areas where there is a monarchy,
How big's the area that he reigns?
I did look it up at one point. It is big, but I would say it's probably maybe the size of about like I'd say it's a Victoria.
Wow.
I'd say it's a Victoria in Nigeria, if not a fraction.
That's massive.
Like a half.
Jeez. I feel like we could talk about that for ages. Just
It's Okene Ebira Land. If someone can look that up, if they could be bothered. I don't know how big it is.
Yeah, no, gotcha.
It's honestly just something that, like, it's like a shiny coin in my wallet. It didn't really affect much of my life. It was like a little closet I would walk into. And then I would walk out when I had to actually face my real life.
So it was like a holiday and see dad.
It was crazy. In total, in my whole life, I've probably been within distance of my dad probably no more than like 3 months.
Right.
Because our visits are always that short.
Right,
Other year.
And how do you feel about your, if you're comfortable talking about it?
No, like absolutely, bro. Yeah. So we're Gucci now. Like, we're good now. It's just that at this point, the damage has been done, but we need to, but I'm still waiting for him to fix things. Mm. Like, damage being that when there were certain times when we might have needed support. It was sometimes like excuse after excuse or this or that. And, it's just like, my mom's a very selfless woman. Mm-hmm. And she loves him. He loves her as well, obviously. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, it's just that, yeah, my dad also, I'm also one of 16 kids.
Yeah,
so,
16.
Yeah, I have to, there's a lot of things I've mentioned as well.
From your dad's side or your mom's side?
From my dad's side. Yeah. So my dad is in a polygamous relationship with my three stepmoms and my mom.
Yep.
Polygamy obviously being another thing people are like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
But that also goes on. Yeah, so.
And then, so why do you think you're like that feeling of not wanting to let your mom down is deep rooted, apart from obvious natural reasons, just loving your mum to bits.
Oh. well, as we speak now, any fee that I have had, any sort of in my whole life, any sort of responsibility that I've had, she's been the one taking care of me. Obviously, my dad has had very minimal, I guess I'd say, financial support in my life, which is obviously like the words of encouragement and whatnot, and the I love yous and the hugs when I see him for the brief moments. There's something, but like at the same time, I'd say you can't, you don't treat your kids like a nice shiny suit you keep in your closet and then wear it whenever you want to, whenever you're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to be those socks that you wear every day, because those are your only pair of socks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. It's funny, isn't it? Like the relationships are, because I can relate to like having an expect or a desire for a particular level of relationship with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in my situation, it's the difference in religion, or just actually having a religion that kind of, in my opinion, puts a separation point of not having the level that I would love to have, or the understanding, you know, the mutual understanding to really, really listen to one another and understand one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of what I crave of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose that's one thing that I felt like I've had to let go of, and I don't know what you feel like about this stuff, but really kind of just know that I'm good. You know, like, my peace can only ever come from within anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just resolving my relationship towards my feelings about them. And in that sense, it's kind of not even anything to do with them. It's just to do with how I have a relationship to the thought of them.
Okay.
That's what I found anyway.
Absolutely. Life teaches us all, different, you know, things. Different things. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask about the scar and the ring? You mentioned briefly on the way up that
you
got a scar on your forehead just above your left eye.
Yeah, absolutely. So this scar when did I get this scar? It was April 17, 2014. I know, because I took an Instagram photo and I check the date sometimes. But yeah, it was like over two years ago. I've been skateboarding since I was 15. Well, I was skateboarding from 15 to 17. What I do now, I would not consider skateboarding. When I used to skate, I used to skate properly. Like, you skip school to skate.
Yeah.
You hang out with your friends at night and you skate. You wear busted shoes wherever you go because you're skating.
Yeah.
You don't really care. You do it for the euphoria and all that stuff. I was literally just engrossed in skateboarding from 14 to like 16 and a half. And now it's just a nice little method of transportation. I got a busted bearing at the moment, but that's why this ring, that's where I got that from.
Right.
Another reminder.
Oh, it is a bearing.
It's a bearing, yeah.
Right.
When your skateboard bearing breaks, you can get a little ring out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
So people are like, are you married? Nah, it's just the only thing I can also fit a ring on.
Married to skateboarding.
Yeah, I'm married to skateboarding, yeah. But also I have big mid joints, so this is actually the only thing I can fit a ring on.
Yeah.
In my pinky ring.
Yeah, you do too. I'm a bit like that.
Yeah, it sucks.
Knuckly.
Knuckly, yeah. Just runs on knuckly cunts.
Then how'd the scar come out? That was from skateboarding?
And the scar was from skateboarding. So there's a really good friend of mine, Mustafa Cardon. Shout out Prolific Images. That's his little company that he's got going on. He does videography and quite good at it, I would say myself.
Mm.
Anyway, good mate of mine. He was driving a bike at the time. He has a motorcycle. We're pulling out of my friend's driveway. And we do this often, skitching. Skitching is when you're on a skateboard holding on to a moving vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How dangerous. Why would you do that? Yeah. I know. Tell me he had a helmet. No, I didn't have a helmet. So sketching his bike. We do this all the time. It's just like, okay, cool. You're heading up the road. Just give me a ride for a bit and I'll get off. We're hitting at about like 40 Ks. That's a lot of speed. And I'm like, okay, if I move in any direction, I could possibly kill myself. So I'm like, yo, slow down. And usually when we do this, you know, when you slow down, you don't just hit the brakes, you know, you gotta you know, that didn't happen.
You gotta get gentle.
You know, you gotta be gentle and you don't just let go of the moving object because you don't have enough, I guess, inertia to slow yourself down in general without like toe dragging and burning a hole.
So you're on a rope or on the back of the bike?
I'm holding on to the back of his back pedal. What is that thing?
Real close
to the wheel, but I'm just like holding on to it.
Holy shit, man. You're going 40 Ks.
Yeah. And then at about like,
couldn't you let go? And so you said, let go would have taken ages to slow down.
If you let go, you're going to catch speed wobbles and you're just going to just mess yourself up. Unless you would have let go earlier, like a smart person would have. But
did you think I could have gone faster? Jumping onto his bike?
That could have been cool, but the wheel parts would like just destroyed everything I love, starting with my penis, you know. So that wouldn't be nice.
So you it was like slow down.
Slow down, couldn't hear me because under his helmet he had headphones. So I'm yelling, I'm like, slow down. And at about 60 Ks,
How old are you?
I was, 22?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. I know how, I shouldn't have mentioned it. I mean, I was 12. Because 12-year-olds do that stuff and not 22-year-old grown-ass men that should know better. But, I was 22. At 60 Ks, the board basically, like, did, like, a U-turn right under my feet because that's how much speed wobble it had.
Whoa.
And, I just remember my hand, I think I got a couple I think it's that one, the penis shaped one, on my hand.
You got dicks all over you.
Yeah, you know, I got landed like this and, hit the floor first, pow. Don't move away from the mic, Otto. Rolled a bit. And the funny thing is, I was just mainly upset about the fact that the shirt that I was wearing had a hole in its shoulder.
Right.
Cause it was such a nice shirt. And I was bleeding on it and I was like, why am I bleeding? And I was like, oh, I have damage to my head and it's not something I can handle on my own. I had to go to a hospital. Got 5 stitches and
shit, man.
Actually, I have an Instagram photo of that as well.
What's your Instagram so people can check you out?
Check me out at Don't Forget to Tip. That is DONT 4 get 2 tip. Oh, how punny.
that's actually the exact handle you gave me when we met.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Awesome.
And it took some.
Let's see. Where do I have this photo?
So you told us what you're scared of the most. We kind of touched on it a bit, like letting your mum down.
Yeah, letting my mom down.
That's because she's given you so much and supported you. And then what are you in love with most, like in life? Like, obviously, it just existing for starts by the tales of your vibes.
Yeah, existence is fun. Can't really speak on the other part just yet. My thoughts on life?
Yeah, what do you love? Like, what are you passionate about? What's your happy spot?
I guess I'd say that's why I'm not too content with life right now, because I haven't really begun a thorough investment into whatever that is.
So you're not, you don't feel like it's the path of your degree and such?
Oh, no. Well, at this point, for a long time now, I've been wondering if it's music.
Yeah.
And I'm getting towards that conclusion that it is.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, why not try with everything? Like, I wanted to play basketball in high school, but I was shit in, like, I wanted to play in middle school, but I was doo-doo up until tryouts. So when everyone was trying out, I was too busy going, oh, I suck. Or I would have tried. I think I tried out, actually. And I think the first day I was just like, doo-doo, messing up on layups, can't dribble, what you doing, why your hand's so big and you can't catch the ball or shoot it, what you doing, Otto, move out the way, Otto, this isn't football, it's basketball, move. Just a lot of that stuff, you know, I was just young, I was just like, you know, this sport isn't for me. Not realizing that, you know, you could just start now and be a beast by high school, because, I mean, look at my hands, I don't know if the camera can see that, but I've only met 3 people in my life to have bigger hands than me school. Well, let's see.
Oh, shit. See, they are bigger, man.
I know, man. Just beat you.
Yeah, like, definitely bigger than mine.
Sorry, bro. See you later, mate. In terms of what I love, I think once I find it, though, I'm definitely going to be a bit more content with where I'm going. Because the thing is, it's like I love the people that I'm with and the vibes that I give and the people that surround me, you know? But it's just that I'm 24 years old. I hate saying it. I'll be 25.
I hate you saying it as well.
I know.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. I'm 25 in October. Like, what the hell? And I, like, sure, I'm doing uni, but I don't consider that doing anything. Or maybe that just has to do with my conviction to my course or the reasons as to why I'm studying it. But, yeah, I feel like once I start actually finding my craft, and it has to be something with creation. Like, I have to do stuff. I'm too visual. That part of me can't not be incorporated into whatever I do to make my money. That's what I've also come to a conclusion with. I've also started acting. When I got to Australia, I was like, you know what? This is a new place. I could do whatever I want. And you know what? I think I could be an actor. Who's to say I couldn't, you know? And, so I've had three short film gigs so far. All of them with university students, but it was a great experience nonetheless. Got to see like what the set's like, call sheets, continuity issues, and how funny those are. That shit's hilarious. Like, being a continuity manager would probably be the most fun thing ever.
Are you joking?
No, I'm dead ass. Like, it's like, oh, sorry, your pinky was a bit up in that last scene. Move your pinky a bit. Depending on how, you know, a lot of people mess up with it. Like, for instance, a lot of some movies where people blink and stuff like that. But yeah, continuity managers, that shit's cool. Anyway, and all the other jobs, just heaps of jobs within
acting. I've never heard anyone think continuity is a fun area.
I think it's fun. Film, that shit's crazy. Cause like, I don't know. I feel like I love that sort of stuff. Like, I play a lot of games, FPSs and stuff. So, you know, when you're sniping someone, you're waiting for anything to move. You're like, this is what this screen looks like when no one's there. Someone's here now. I saw something move, and you shoot it, you know?
So you got kind of a mathematical mind.
Yeah, I like seeing shit, and I like where it is. I like aesthetics. I like the way my room looks. I like the way my apps look. I found the video too, by the way. But like, yeah, my apps, I feel like I try to keep things sort of symmetrical and have a little design to it.
Yeah. Well,
on some minimalist type shit. Anyway, it's fun.
Because I mean, I often find with work, like, it's more about the essence of why you love what you do than it is about the actual destination of what you're doing or your craft specifically, you know? Like, for example, I always wanted to be in music. Like, I started a records, like, I was in a punk band in the UK, and then I started a radio station and a radio show and stuff, and music was my thing, and then I came over. But I always had fun with everything I did. Nice. Like, I just wanted to get paid to have fun, really. That's
what. Gotcha.
And then I came over here and just fell into comedy, and I'm like,
oh, that'd be awesome.
And it's just like, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Like, it's kind of my thing now. So it's like, just in terms of the comedy show or a radio show and making fun videos, it's less actually about being comedic and more about just actually having fun. But yeah, so I mean, for me, that was my little journey with it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think and that's why it's so interesting. I like talking about these areas, is because it's, yeah, like I say, it's more about the essence of what you enjoy doing and being in love with the process and the craft of it than it is about the idea of doing a job, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because the idea of doing a job, well, you know, it's a lot different sometimes than actually doing that job.
Totally. And sometimes you fall in love with what you think it would be like, or the when you look at someone and you see them having fun.
Oh, that's how their job must be. Yeah. That's how it would be for me if I was in that job.
It's
sometimes not like
it's that. It's a different reality. It's like, I used to want to be a football player, like a soccer player.
Okay.
And now I'm like, I don't think I'd enjoy that much training. I just like having to kick about with my mates.
Yeah.
That's what I love.
Okay. Yeah. When it comes to me, I definitely would say once I find that thing, though, music it is that I'm referring to, I'll know if it was worth it if I am who I am and it hasn't changed me.
Right.
Yeah. If this pursuit that I'm hopefully trying to go under doesn't sort of make me forget where I came from, then I could say it was worth it.
And
or not it worked out well.
Right. Yeah. And what does that mean in itself, that the concern of forgetting where you came from? Like, why is that important?
There's ties within, like, there's cultural ties. There's ties within, like, my religion. I am Muslim, so I try to make sure, like, I don't lose too much of myself, because, like, there's so much of me that has been me and is okay to be me within all aspects of my moral compass, But it's just that the urge to indulge in certain things is always there.
And you feel like you haven't really resolved those the desires or charms.
Some of them I have. Some you clock, some you don't, some you try to stay away from. And it's just like, I don't know. You just feel like if you haven't, then why should you? But then it's also like, if you don't, then you wouldn't know why you should have.
Well, mate, that second reason is the very motive for why I stopped being Christian when I was 24.
I feel you. It is for most people, absolutely.
Yeah, I just needed to know. I wanted to get burnt. I needed to find out.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know that why I don't want to go down that path. Yeah. By going all the way down to the end of the path, looking around, experiencing it, and going, yep, no, I won't go down there again.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the best, I mean, for me, everyone's different, but I found like for me, I had to do that or I'd regret my life because I just wouldn't live with conviction. I mean, again, this is personal and everyone's
absolutely
different.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own process and path of all this stuff. But so like, that's what I'm interested about yours, like how much you're, yeah.
You yeah, feel no, like absolutely. In terms of like my religious views, although like every Muslim kid basically goes to like Sunday school to learn Arabic, to read the Quran and stuff, and like, you know, how to read and write. You learn about, you know, our creed. We learn about Jesus and all the prophets, and we learn about the Bible as well. We learn about a lot of things. And then you go back to public school if you go to public school, or you go back to, if you go to Muslim school, you go to Muslim school. But I went to public school. So, so Sunday school is like a little window into my Islamic, education, I guess, or yeah.
And what's your, like,
until I hit 16.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's your feeling about that, and what does it bring you? What does it serve you? You know, what's your relationship with it like?
Okay.
The knowledge or the, you know, the Quran.
So basically I used to be a Sunday school teacher after I was a student. I was teacher's assistant. So like, we're just teaching kids how to like read and write and stuff. But at the same time, when you see people who don't know about your religion, but then learn about it, and the way it has changed them, that's usually some of the drives as to what helps you find the beauty in what you love or in your religion. That is absolutely it. It is a huge thing that converts make born Muslims feel like shit.
What do you mean? Say that again.
Converts, people who convert into Islam, they usually make us that are born into that are born Muslim feel horrible.
Why?
Because they take it so much more serious than us.
Right.
And as long as they are given the proper induction, obviously, and not with what's going on nowadays, they usually end up such beautiful people. They always do. If anything, their mates who used to probably go clubbing with them would probably say like, oh, dude, you never see him anymore. But ask like his missus or ask his mom or his dad, how is your son now? He's different. It's always the answer.
Yeah, wow.
And unless they're a bit on the intolerant side, they probably just might have kicked him out and not have had a chance to notice. But otherwise, that's actually exactly what made me sort of want to get more serious was just, actually, well, I have to mention this friend. I will make a song for him one day. This is a friend of mine named Giovanni Reyes. He's Spanish. Where is he from? He's from Nicaragua. Yeah. And I've known him since elementary school, or I knew him since elementary school. When we hit high school, year 9, he got a girl pregnant. And was having a kid, so he was working in the mall that all the kids, all of us went to after high school. Is what you do. You go to a mall after after school's over. Yeah, his girlfriend got pregnant, so he was working at Foot Locker. And like at that age, none of us are working. We're just like, you know, that's for grown ups.
What, he's like 15, 16?
Yeah, 14. 14, 15, 16. Yeah. And then, yeah, he was working there till like junior year. My senior year of high school, 2010. We find out that Gio hung himself in his room.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there were other pressures, apparently. It was a bit, some gang-related stuff going on in there. Pressures from, like, his missus, familiars, all that sort of stuff. But 17, he's in his room. He asks his mom for a shoelace. His mom gave him a shoelace, comes back in. I think it was in the morning, and he's hanging from his ceiling fan.
Oh, mate. That's horrible.
That's crazy.
How did fuck?
Yeah.
How did you process that?
All of us just hit it. You know, that was the first death. Although, yeah, that was the first real death that like sort of like hit me because a lot of us went to his wake.
Yeah.
And as Muslims, we don't have wakes. We don't look at the body. Whoever's going to wash and clean the body would have wrapped it in white, so we just have the shroud of the body. But yeah, when I saw his corpse, that did hit me because they put chemicals on him to preserve him and stuff. And he's in a suit and stuff. But it's my friend. It's Gio, you know. The thing after that, this is the moment that really struck me, at least for me, like, and to each their own, honestly, because I don't know, this might offend some people, but it was the fact that there's a lot of this will open a lot of other conversation, but I'm going to be honest here. Mm-hmm. The priest or the person, the Pope, the man who I'm sounding very ignorant right now.
No, the man
who was wearing white and he had a staff and he seemed anointed. He's speaking to everyone to console everyone, and then he says, "God has revealed to me that on Giovanni's way down to the bridge, he repented and is now in heaven with God." And then there's a sigh.
What's the bridge?
I believe it'd be referred to purgatory. That I believe I could be wrong. I'm speaking on another religion. Don't kill me. but I believe it is referred to as the bridge, which is a waiting place where people would be waiting.
Oh, gotcha.
Their graves. Yep. So that on his way there, he repented and is now in heaven with God.
Yeah.
And it's just like God's mercy throughout the Bible and throughout the Quran. Like it's all encompassing. However, there are things that have been listed in every Abrahamic faith that have just been consistent. It's just been consistent. And it's suicide. It's the fact that this life is a test, and that from the Abrahamic religion portrayal, this life is a test. And just like an exam in uni, you know, you're gonna bubble in your answers. You're going to do your right and wrong, and it's going to end. And yeah, you have to still finish the test. You get a zero if you don't complete all the answers. So yeah, some of us have a longer sheet than others. Some of ours have shorter sheets, but in the end, it's still going to end the same way.
And is that how you feel about life? It's a test?
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, because to me, I feel like it's more about an experience, and it's all ultimately about evolution and letting love shine through us and shift in. I feel like evolution to me is just raising the collective consciousness to that one of the baseline fundamental of everyone operating from love. That's my dream.
I feel you.
Yeah, and I feel like that transcends all worldviews because love is an experiential thing. It's not a knowledge thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you could even say the night we met, that was just love because it was...
It brought us here.
Yeah. And just the experience, the direct experience of looking at each other, dancing, smiling.
Yeah.
Like, that's love. There's no judgment. There's no assessment.
Yeah.
There's no right. There's no wrong.
Yeah.
It's just purely just what I would deem to be love.
I completely understand that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I do want to touch up on this one last point that I made that what the Pope said, the pastor said, and so significant to me. It's just the fact that... a person from just about every Abrahamic religion, a person shouldn't be the one who's receiving what we call in Arabic wahi, which is revelation from God. It's not a hotline. People sort of get a bit mad because there are no sort of signs. There are signs, but people want different signs. That's basically it. People, anyway.
So, how did it make you feel then? What's your assessment?
It's just the fact that I felt like, how can a religion, how can someone do that? Like, how can, like,
make that conclusion?
If he was an imam, if he was like anyone, like, how can you say that, okay, this person's dead? I know what happened. I experienced it. I know what's going on. And you're just an average Joe amongst all of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose. Although everyone, like, I don't know, that's me. Yeah. That's me. And this is me. So,
yeah. I can understand you having that. Like, I mean, there's just a million different, like, even Dalai Lama's got his own oracle that experiences shit that even Dalai Lama can't experience because he gets into these trance states And I feel like we're antennas for all sorts of states of frequencies and consciousness flying. I mean, you know, not consciousness, but we are a manifestation of consciousness in my worldview. Yeah. But like just different levels and different states and experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, it's hard to really, I mean, I find make a one short assessment on anything from science to religion to spiritual to atheism to everything, because everyone's just having their own experience, and all I can really do is witness it, and listen to them. Like, you know, I feel like that might be his experience. If you, it's more about how it rings inside or how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And I feel like at least for me, when I meditate twice daily and all that, but when I'm free of thought, that's when I have I feel like I've got a pretty good compass on what's bullshit and what's real.
Okay.
In terms of things. So I feel like because if thoughts are operating us, we generally, I mean, I find the mechanics of thoughts are misleading. Mm-hmm. Like, and the Bible says that, like, not, you know, the tree of knowledge is like all that such. I think it's because it can lead to clinging to knowledge. I think it's actually the clinging that's more detrimental than the actual knowledge itself, because I feel like supreme knowledge, for me at least, aligns with my mind and my heart. But my Christian knowledge only aligned in my heart, and I had to, by faith, give up my mind.
Yeah.
So that for me didn't work. For me.
Okay.
You know, it didn't feel complete. It didn't feel true.
You shouldn't have to do that.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to. People can do it if they want, and that's their choice and their karmic energy, I would deem, because search karma. It's not the most. I've been getting into karma a bit recently.
Okay.
It's two different forces of energy I find in play. Kriya. And karma.
Okay.
And Kriya is just like when you're in flow state, when you're in love state, and it's just this.
Love state is what we were in when we first met?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me it is. Nice. And that's just effortless, and it's an infinite well of infinite creativity.
I'm there quite a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get you are.
Okay.
And then karma is more like you push me in the street and then I got cross at you, and then I carry that crossness around, and then I pass that on to someone else that I see. Mm. And it's just like this, almost like a negative energy transfer between things.
Between people.
Yeah. And it's, that's my, at least my experience of it. Anyway.
Mm. No, absolutely.
Because I know that how the two different make me feel.
Mm.
And that's my knowledge-based understanding of them.
No, absolutely. You can see that on a daily basis, and I could, yeah, absolutely. It's like, oh, this guy just hit me with some karma. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, who am I going to pass this on to?
Yeah.
Look at this old lady crossing the street. Get over here.
Yeah. And my mate, he's kind of like my guru geezer. He was like, oh, because I'm my shades got stolen the other day, and they're quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, instantly, like, oh, I'm so annoyed this guy took my shades. Like, how rude of him. You know, they weren't his. And I was like, oh, nothing's really mine anyway. Like, even my life is it's just a gift.
Nice.
And then he was like, mate, he just took on your karma. You should be thanking him, because you had some kind of negative karmic energy that he just relieved you of, so thank him for taking it off you.
Wow.
And that kind of made sense to me.
Okay.
Because I just understand the mechanics of those kind of energies, so I just trust that there is, and I'm sure I've done some dodgy things.
We all have. To each their own.
That's interesting. So how's your relationship to your religion evolved over the years, or changed, or you know, what how would you just talk on that?
Well, a concept of what we call faith, iman, would be, I guess you'd say, you're, and I really don't like the word religious.
Yeah.
Or like, because it just puts a blanket on someone, and it's like, Jesus Christ is a person. Like, you could place him in different places and he's going to act differently in different ones, because he has to get through the areas and stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Life is not a constant.
Yeah, yeah.
It changes in different areas.
Is it, why is that? Because religion is, it feels like you're being put in a box. Is that why? Or?
No, it's just, it's more like a rhombus.
What's a rhombus?
A rhombus is that shape that looks like
a different shape. Yeah.
Yeah, just kidding. Yeah. Oh, I think of a trapezoid. I forget what a rhombus looks like, but it is a shape. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. On campus, when I first arrived, I flew 15,000 miles, like, over water and sea to get to Australia, right? And I'm walking with my bags. I've got suitcases and shit. And it's actually the first day of uni. I already missed the class. I just got out of a taxi. It was expensive as hell. It was $76. And now I, like, no, it should have been like 45 or something. So I know I got gypped. It's all good. Uber took that guy out of business or wherever you were. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. Taxi people, I hope you guys can still support your families. I get to uni and I'm just in a pretty crazy environment. It's like, it's new to me. I hadn't lived on campus back in the States either. So it's just like, in community college, you commute. So I'd just go back home, hang out with my friends and stuff. I'd go to college parties or something on campus. I'd hang out with college people, but like, I just didn't have the dorm life. So it was just all over my face when I was there. And it's just like, it's just the Australian version. And it's like, yeah, like, you have to understand that like, I was living my whole life in the States. So like, college parties are pretty cool, but like sometimes here it's just a bit like, if I can get on the piece, mate.
Yeah.
It's just like, and I'll be there, I'll dance, I'll have fun, but it's just like I don't drink or whatever, but it's like that never stops anything. But it's just like when you make that, like the whole point of the party is just like, it's not even like what's the afterthought? Like, it's just, nah, mate. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. getting on the piece, mate. It's just like, sweet. As long as you got some music playing, I can like drop in and dance a bit, you know, to you guys, but all good, to each their own.
But yeah, it doesn't vibe with you. Like, just cause you're just getting obliterated.
Yeah. Just didn't
connect with you.
Just didn't connect with me. Yeah, and I just didn't see a need to start it. That would have been me going out of who I am. To fit in.
Oh, gotcha.
And appease other people.
Yeah, like, great.
Appease other people. So
yeah,
that was just, yeah. It's just like, it's not even like a religious thing. Like, that's why when people ask, why don't you drink? I don't say it's because of my religion, because that implies that if it was what we call halal, permissible, that I would do it. Same thing with tattoos. If it was halal, I still don't think I would do it, because I don't think there's anything in my life that has been that consistent that I could put on my body. But that's just me. I want to be able to speak about who I am and teach their own, honestly. I think tats look cool, but it's just like, I loved skateboarding all my life, and now I don't even skate. Mm-hmm. I just use it as a method of transportation. So like, my life will always be something different as long as I just keep it in my art, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That's great.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry, I go on rants and then I forget what my initial point was.
That's interesting. No, I feel like what's jumping out at me is like that sense that you have, it's less, like, everything is your choice. You know, it's not, you're not bound to your religion.
Because
I think there is I know the difference as well. Like, growing up Christian, I never thought it was religion, or I never felt like it was a religion, but I knew there was a difference when I made it a choice from an experience-based conviction and when I made a choice from, it's the right thing to do because of my community of church friends.
Okay.
And, you know, like, and I knew there's a very difference, a massive difference in that, you know, like, if I want to, if I'm just doing it cause I think it's the right thing to do. And if I'm doing it because this is me. And this is, I feel this deeply about this experience. I can't think of an example specifically, but you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So like, I think I like that you are aware of that.
Thanks. Life's just sort of pointing me in that direction. And I've never been the judgmental type, because that's one thing that a lot of people fall into. And it's just the biggest sign of their lack of progression within their pursuit for religiosity.
Mm. And ultimately, the compassion you have to have towards those that are like that is that they're judging themselves more than anyone else. Actually not judging anyone else. They're just judging their own.
That is it. Yeah, absolutely. And it's touched on so much within religions itself. So it's for the people who don't get that deep in, but yet are so outward with it, that's one of the biggest problems, was when people sort of want to just have that affiliation, but it's not in their heart.
Right. You
know? Actually, I saw a funny video on World Star Hip Hop the other day. White nationalist rally in Virginia.
Yeah.
It was very close to my area, so a lot of crazy.
Which is like last week.
Yeah, a couple, 4 or 5 days ago.
Which is like, we're recording this in mid August, so like it was early August, roughly.
Yeah, and one person died, got ran over by a car. That car plowed into a bunch of people. And I've been in that area. I know exactly where that is.
Oh, really?
In Virginia. Yeah, but it's just like.
What was that like, witnessing that from afar, and how did that make you feel? And
I've witnessed a lot, because I've been here for the past 4 years, here in Melbourne. But I don't really witness it. That's the thing. So a lot of people ask me, how has it been since Trump's been in office? I can't really speak on it because I'm not really there witnessing it. I have never felt racism a day in my life, personally. But then again, I'm not stupid enough to not like sort of adapt to the way I'm going to speak to whoever I'm speaking to.
Well, say that again. So you do adapt to...
I do adapt. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And some like people sometimes might see it as what you might call fake. I see it as being dynamic, and it's never stopped me from feeling...
Well, if it's authentic, it's dynamic.
Exactly.
It's fake if it's not sincere.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we're not into... Yeah, we're not into kissing feet. We just scratch backs. I try to say cool things, but it didn't come out cool. But I hope that's not good.
Nah, it's cool, man. It's cool.
Bars.
Yeah. So you don't. So you, when you see it happening, and you have friends back there, or like what?
And that's the thing. I also haven't seen too much affecting my friends. Except for the Islamophobia, just because it was a raping and a killing. It was a horrible one. May she rest in peace. And she was coming back from Friday prayer, so it's like whoever it was must have been like waiting outside of a mosque or something. And there's a lot of this is happening all over the world. It's stupid. Violence itself is stupid. People need to just deal with their problems however they see fit without having to actually affect people's lives. People have parents, and then it affects them, then it affects kids, and then people just hate each other.
What's your feeling about why violence is in existence?
Daddy issues.
You looked at me with such conviction.
Yeah,
sorry,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
I think it all starts in the family. Yeah.
Yeah. Lack of love or anger or... Like I'm just trying to think when I feel... I generally, when I start feeling angry, I more likely go to sadness than I do to anger. You know what I mean? Like it, I feel like it all stems from pain.
Okay.
And not feeling like you're loved.
Probably. Because I go to the angry then... Or I go to the angry before the sad.
Do you?
Or sometimes the sad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not happy than angry. But I'm not really angry. Just like the music or like my thoughts sometimes. But I never come off as angry to people. That's what I mean about the whole like switching it up. Like if I had a bad day, I'm not the type of guy who's gonna put on his forehead or put on my story. You know, like life's going on. I'm smiling. I give that vibe even if I'm not feeling it myself. Mm. Yeah.
Why do you do that?
I feel like it just works for me really well my whole life, and I just do it. Like I see someone like just the smile and the head nod. That thing is the pinnacle of being a nice person on a day to day basis.
So just giving
a smile and a nod. You know, hey human being, nice. How's it going? slight, you know, squint of the eye, little. He loves it. Eats it up. You know, he looks back at you. Oh, I like that. You don't want to give it too early or too late. You don't want to look away too early. You know, because you look like a dick. You look like you're like, oh, I don't. You know, I do like you, but I don't want them to know I like you. Is that
so,
sort of
so
thing.
What's the timing then? Like, if I'm a few meters off here.
All right.
And I walk up.
Walking up.
Yeah.
And just keep it moving. So, don't you love me?
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. Bro. How close was I? How many meters from you was I when I got it?
I started looking at you at about like 4 steps away, at 3 steps, eye contact.
Your
smile.
Eyes are rolling back like
yeah,
you're
man,
you
know? I'm seeing it. One step, I tried to grab your butt, but I missed.
That's so funny. I love that, man. But you do it in a way that, like, because I feel like a lot of people in this country do these ones, like the.
Yeah.
Which is just a flat
line. It's just a flat line.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a meme going around how white people smile or something.
Oh, man. Yeah. I love these small things that happen in social structure that people don't really think about. But, like, no, absolutely.
So
the flat line.
Like, flat line mouth, kind of a polite smile to describe on the podcast.
That's good. Like, yeah.
Which yours is more like? Which one's yours?
I show a bit of teeth.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's so much fresher. You know? It's fun and alive. Like,
honestly, I can't help but smile when I see old people.
Yeah,
old people and babies so synonymous. Like I feel like I still haven't seen The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
No,
I gotta watch that movie. Apparently, he starts off as a baby and then grows up to be an old man. Or no.
Vice versa.
Well, wait, we all
we all do. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a crazy story. Like
crazy story.
Every other story in Hollywood is that.
funny. Yeah, sorry, if the red spike goes that high, am I too close?
Peeking, man. You're peeking.
I'm peeking. I'm sorry.
But that's all right. Yeah. Yeah. Just come back from the microphone when you do the big loud ones. but that's funny. I love that you do that. So you do that. I think that's a great practice in just being present in life, is experiencing other people and looking around and enjoying your life that way. You know, I feel like, I mean, I definitely get distracted more than I'd like to say on my phone when I'm walking down the street. But the enjoyment of
same, just, I just remembered I got to charge mine.
You got to charge that guy. But the enjoyment of just looking around and smelling the air, and, you know, doing all the natural things that.
Oh, I live in Footscray. I don't try to smell the air. I try to keep away from it as much as possible. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Now, Footscray is a cool area in Melbourne.
Yeah, it is a nice area. Yeah. It stinks. No, I'm kidding. Clean it up. That's great. Clean it up.
That's so funny. So where do you want to go? Like you're saying, what have you always loved throughout your life? Regard not necessarily music, but like, what is it about music that you enjoy?
Besides the fact that I've been listening to it like basically my whole life, if not intentionally or unintentionally. But then as of like middle school, high school. Like when LimeWire was peaking in middle school, I remember that. Yeah, I had some friend to
after Napster.
Yeah, after Napster. Then, yeah. And then it was after LimeWire was FrostWire. That was doo-doo or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, we used to like make CDs for people. We used to like burn CDs, and my friend was like our little like our pimp, the guy we reported to. How many you guys sold? Six, man. We're selling like tracks that like that are already in the album form. We're not even like making mixes. We're just making copies. We're just like, yeah, bro, it's good. You know, and just calling it like mix, cool mix number one.
Even
Isn't this just Get Rich or Die Trying? Yeah. I don't think the album was out then. Whatever.
Yeah.
So listening to music and downloading it and all that good stuff was always something I was doing. As of skateboarding, it was definitely something I was doing. Like if I had the wrong iPod, because I only had always had really small storage having iPods, so I had like a rock one and I had a rap one. So and my rock phase is, I can literally explain how I got into rock music. I went so before I went to Nigeria on my when I was 12 years old, it was like 2001 or something. I had a PSP. Oh, I love that PSP. That PSP. But all I had was a demo disc. And in that demo disc, there were like 3 music videos, or I think like 5 music videos and like 1 game or something. And 2 of those music videos were by 3 Days Grace. One of them was Home and one of them was Alone, I think. And I had nothing else to listen to. I was so bored sometimes. So I was like, oh, this is all I have to watch it. And I was just like, so I just got the aggression in the video. And I was just like, oh. Yeah, screaming. It's guitars. Oh, what's this? You know, it's just really curious about it. And then when I bumped into other people that are also into rock, I started getting into like getting into deep stuff, like heavy metal. I do not slow down with my taste in music. I definitely I'm into everything. I listen to like I listen to rap, hip hop, R&B. I listen to country. Two country songs that I really enjoyed. I was on the way to a snowboarding trip and they played one, and it was about a guy who's getting big. He's getting McDonald's with his son. It was the coolest song I ever heard, and I couldn't even try to imitate it.
Have you got any stuff that you do so what's your style of music? Rocky, rappy.
There's a bit of that going on nowadays, but I'd say that but I'd say it's definitely one or the other, but sometimes both. Yeah, I do have some ideas to do both. But my thing is, I'm not too instrumentally challenged. Besides the garage band, you know. So besides that, just pretty much just freestyling with friends whenever we're around. But I was just like, why not? I used to do poetry very seriously, and everywhere I recited this one poem, I always had it's always a good response. Like, I either win a tournament or something. So I was like, all right, I need to, like, write things. And when it came to, I also had a short film that I had to write for I needed one more elective to complete my bachelor's. So I did it online at Open Universities Australia. Shout out Open Universities Australia. They literally saved my life. I would have, like, because I had to complete my course by August 30th. Or I would have been like, I would have wasted my whole stay in Australia, basically. So, luckily that didn't happen, and I I had to write a script for my final assignment. So like, this script is keeping me between a degree.
Yeah, wow.
And so I put my life into it. It was pretty cool. What did I call it? The Common Ground. And it's about four white rednecks that are going to a KKK revival meeting, and they don't know that there's a black family reunion taking place there at the moment. So they spent all this time trying to send out flyers, getting all these people. It's 1985, Alabama.
Yeah.
I thought it's been a while since I wrote this. But yeah, it was just really fun. Like, you're making people and you're getting, you know, like, you're making it.
Creating a
straight out my world. Out my doodle.
Yeah.
You know? So that was fun. So writing has always been fun for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you love. That's where you feel like your heart is with any of this stuff, is just the writing, is the creating of a story.
I have to. Because it's like, I'm always thinking about something. Sometimes I'll just be like, just looks like I'm just staring at my shoe, but I'm thinking about a scene that could be in like the fourth episode of like a 16 episode season. And it's just a random minute of it between like 26 and like 28 minutes or something out of an 80 minute episode or whatever. It's just so random. I'm trying to explain how random it is. Just like walking to the kitchen. Hey, honey, how's it going? And I'm just like, I'm seeing it. I'm just like, oh yeah. And then he'd do this and that and that and that. And, oh, the tram's here. You know, so it's just like, I feel like I'd go crazy if I don't sort of do something to really express myself. And yeah. I write short stories on like, I just write a lot of stuff.
That's wicked, man. Yeah. And that's where that's your happy place then, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like if you don't get that stuff out your head, no one's ever going to know it existed. Mm. And you just be that loony who's always talking about, oh, this cool stuff's in my head, man. I can't wait to get it out. And you never did.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And it's even just it's something natural about removing it from your head as well.
Yeah,
like, because if it stays in there, you probably will go mad.
You go mad, man. Yeah. It's crazy, bro. It's you go crazy. So that's also why I'm really hoping to get into the music thing, because I don't want to go crazy.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like you're going to go back to America anytime soon, or you feel like you're going to stay here after
the way it is for us international students, basically, if your course is, I hear different things. I hear that if I've been here for like 5 years, I can get a PR, but then I also hear that the PR has like certain jobs that they're looking for, and international business, I don't think that's amongst that list. If it is, someone let me know. Instagram, don't forget to tip. DM me. I really want to stay. Yeah.
Get sponsored. Well, you're doing your master's, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing my master's now.
Yeah, in international business.
International business, yeah.
Man, fuck, you'll get hired in a second, wouldn't you? If you wanted to do your uni work.
That's the thing, though.
You don't.
That's why it's like, this is the time I have to decide if I'm going to either like take a break on it, come back to it whenever the hell I want to, or just try to pursue this fully.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, oh, well, I could just, well, I don't know. Like, I should just try to just finish the degree. Like, it would, like, yeah, ideally I'd finish and then see what I want to do. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like jobs are just flying all over the place. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think so, but the amount of people I know that graduated and are struggling to get jobs, I don't know. But in international business, sometimes I wonder, like, I don't even, who knows? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I swear I treat uni like uni is my side chick, and that side chick takes me to Australia and keeps me there and happy. So that's why I'm still with her.
Yeah, and it does brilliant things for your brain. You learn new things. You have an amazing skill set now.
Yeah, and all that stuff too.
Yeah, all that shit. You can use your international business to create yourself as an artist.
And life taught me that stuff, man. What? Most of my jobs were in retail, just dealing with people and just putting on the face, the gift of the gab, you know? All that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, I'm trying to tell you, like, these business classes, I look at the students and hopefully I wish all business students the best, because creativity and like the fact that you're dealing with a very complex system, the market system, and having to start up and all that, fees and overhead and all this, is all, so much stuff, man. Mm. It is. And you're just like 21, 22, 23 years old, and you're trying to get a job and you're trying to save up so you can start that shit. And you don't know how it's going to go. And you won't know until 5 years' time in.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Mate, I don't reckon the whole education system's going to be around much longer. Like, it's already, with what you can learn yourself.
Yeah.
And the fact that it costs so much, and the fact that it's knowledge is, like, information is everywhere now. We don't need... I mean, that's at least my little understanding of it all.
No, I absolutely believe that, man. It's so annoying because it's just a... I mean, it's an institution, and it should... I hope that it always exists, like a medium.
I think the big ones, like the Harvards and all the big prestigious ones, but I think a lot of the little ones are going to die because it's it's just not sustainable. And it doesn't make, like you say, everyone comes out and don't even really get a job that easy.
Yeah.
Experience is like, I've got way further with experience down on the, like in the ground and crafting things than I have learning about how to craft things. I learn how to craft things by crafting them.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just like.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah. That is a problem. But yeah, so, I don't know.
So what about the ring? You didn't tell me about the ring.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and the ring. And the ring was given to me by the friend who was driving the motorcycle.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's the friend.
As an apology?
No. He didn't owe me an apology. He was just like, why don't you let go? I was like, bro, I tried to tell you to slow down so I could. And he's just like, oh, sorry, bro. You should have let go earlier. I was like, no. You did this.
You were the one that's wrong.
You did this to me. But it's cool. It looked like a penis for a while, but now it looks like, I don't know, it looks like a plane from a side view. I don't know, like the side view of a plane.
Did you recraft it so that it didn't look like a thing anymore?
Should probably like try to. Is that a thing? Could I get it like grafted into something else?
You probably could, yeah.
Probably could, because it's like.
But it would
fleshy.
Just involve cutting yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like I could do it myself. Just get up in there and just. I know what you're doing. You just. Blood all dripping down your face. Can you knock before you enter? Jesus.
Yeah. Just redesigning your face.
Yeah, just redesigning my face, mate.
That's so funny. So you're what siblings are you closest to out of your family?
Yeah. So I am the only one from my mom. There are 9 from my dad's first wife.
Mm.
There are 3 from my dad's third wife, and there are 3 from my dad's fourth wife. And I know it's for people listening. Again, it's strange, but I promise you, like they all love each other. I know the whole jealousy thing's a bitch, and no matter what, it'll always exist. But. They call and they say, hey, how's our husband? And I hear it in the background and I'm like, yeah, that's a bit weird myself. That's me. I'm born in the States. I'm still, I'm just like, this is not common, but it's my life. And I love the fact that my brothers are who they are. And ultimately, if it weren't for the concept of polygamy, I wouldn't be alive. Would I?
Ooh. True, man. True.
Right?
Well, nothing's weird,
you're
man.
Saying you want me dead? No, I'm kidding.
Well, if you think about infinite creativity and infinite potential, it can't be a thing in that we experience in our lifetime that we could deem to be weird.
Absolutely.
And weird's only just relative to, what's that word that everyone is?
Your construction
is,
of
it. Yeah, construction of it, or understanding, or limited what you're ignoring, really. Mm. So, I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to make me think anything's weird. but yeah, that's
weird
lovely.
Is good.
Yeah, plus that, true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so is there any particular brothers or sisters that you're closer to?
I'd say it is. I've had a chance to meet a couple of them. They're all pretty cool. The oldest is 53. Mm. I'd say it's the youngest ones, though. I'm the 4th youngest. I have a lovely younger sister who's 7, 12, then my younger brother who's 16, and one who's about like. He's like probably 19 now. Mm. Oh, he's like 19. That's crazy.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, but I've only seen them on my visits to Nigeria. But now it's Snapchat. I see their faces all the time.
Yeah,
so it's
great.
Like, now I'm just getting tired of it. But, you know, it's good.
Are you going back in the near future? Based in Nigeria?
Yeah, definitely. We always have these short trips. I definitely would like to have one. And my dad, like, always hoped that I'd come back and be there for quite a while. And, like, hopefully. Because I've never been to school there. I just visit over the summer. So, yeah, it would be nice to sort of do something there. Like, I mean, Nigeria is a nice place. I have fun while I'm there.
Mm.
Results may vary.
Mm.
but yeah.
Africa's beautiful in places.
It is, yeah. It is beautiful in many places. The poverty is there, though. I mean, like, I will not like let someone, like, that is the biggest thing that'll make someone go like, whoa, whoa. Because, and that's a horrible thing. And like, that's why. I don't know. People always say stuff like this, but I feel like if I were to do good with the music thing and money were like, if I had a lot of money, I would really try to hope that I could do a lot of good within that community, not just within Nigeria, but everywhere, man. Just knowing that you could have at least helped somebody with it. Like, there's a lot of people doing stuff like that. Like with, what's the guy who went to Somalia and he got all that water and food. He's French. Oh man, what's his name? He started a whole movement.
But what's the story?
He basically got people to donate, and I think it was like millions of dollars that came up within like 48 hours or something like that. And there was a drought in Somalia, and people were given food. People survived because people could let go of that dollar that they love so much. Wow. You just let it go, and people can live. That's a crazy thought.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Man,
and that stuff feels. That's the stuff that makes your heart feel good.
Mm.
the stuff that you want to do usually sort of numbs it. But the things like that, that you're sort of like, ugh, I got to do this. I'd feel bad if I didn't. That's the stuff that like really makes you feel good. That's how you feel before you got to apologize to a mate that you wronged. But then when he forgives you and you feel that warmth in your heart, that's that feeling I'm talking about.
It's the best.
It is a good feeling.
It's the coming together, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Man, I feel like that's a nice place to wrap. Like,
yeah. I don't even know how long we've been going. This is fun. My breath probably stinks.
Why does it
It never
stink?
Works that way. You know what I do? I lick the back of my hand.
Yeah.
And I smell it. My breath stinks. Oh, I had water here this whole time.
Well, man, thank you. Thank you for coming on, being open to it, being willing and chatting. And yeah, anyone that wants to follow, drop your Instagram one more time.
Hey, so that's don't forget to tip, DONT, number 4, GET, number 2, tip.
For big smiles and loads of fun.
Big smiles and loads of fun and lots of selfies. But if you really want to see me on Snapchat. I have to drop the Snapchat as well. That's actually what I'm usually on. It's Prince Abubu 92. That's P-R-I-N-C-E Abubu A-B-U-B-U 92. Thank you. Signing out. Can we end it there? No, we got to keep talking.
No, that's where we end up.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. You won't hear none of it because it'll be edited out. Because I ended that excellently just there. Yeah.